Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And good greetings on the first Sunday of Christmas season. We are still in Christmas. That's why the decorations are still up, and I'll be making reference to that in the sermon. But actually, we never leave Christmas, because once we hear that promise and see it incarnated, that Christ is with us, the hope of glory, we fortunately are never beyond that. It is ours. And we end one year and we complete or begin another one with that confidence. We are grateful that you're here. I know a lot of traveling, so I'm grateful that you made it a point to be here this morning. A couple of announcements. Next week, the 8th of January, we will be collecting for the Advent offering that we collected through Advent and Christmas for the Society of St. Andrew. You can bring in coins if you like, but our counters say they truly appreciate checks if they're a little lighter to deal with. So, but anything would be welcome. Also, you see that we have the second that our church has attended of the winter seminar that will be in Roanoke. The topic this year is on the Trinity, and it's a great opportunity to get several days of training from just great scholars and professors, so I'll be sending out an email on that. I'm curious, how many of you read through the scripture in 2022? I know several were doing it. Oh, that's wonderful. Will you send me an email? Because I need to coordinate a luncheon plans. If you'll send me an email or a text that you've done that, I would encourage you to do that. I don't, those of you who've been around for a while, I know you know I don't push each year the reading through of the scripture, because it's great to sprint. And sometimes it's good just to meander slowly. So I've asked several, and I found it a challenging but fun exercise. Several have asked me to suggest a plan that we could adopt, if you'd like, for this coming week or coming year. And what I prayerfully and just thought through, I picked five chapters from the New Testament that would be good to memorize. I chose a chapter 3 from 5 different books. And what the suggestion would be is, if you read, for instance, week 1, the first week of the month, read Matthew 3 every day. Week 2, read John 3 every day. Week 3, read Romans 3, and so on. You will go through each chapter 12 times 7. Brandon helped me with this before. 84? 84 readings. And then on the fifth week, whatever that will be. So it's just a suggestion. Of course, any way you read the scripture is a good way. Any other announcements? Yes?
Carolyn wanted me to let you know there's no clothes hanging at Parkview this Tuesday because they're doing inventory.
All right. No clothes hanging at Parkview, but we will have our men and women's group and both of our Bible studies. Any other announcements? All right. Any prayer requests this morning? Anyone have any particular prayer requests they'd like to share for us? Robert, you want to give us an update on Heather?
Heather's at Hallmark right now in Chesterfield, and she's going to be there maybe a year. She's not cooperating. Needs the prayers to touch her to get her to cooperate.
Well, the Lord can do that, so let's continue to keep Heather in our prayers. She's in Hallmark facility, which is in Chesterfield. Probably will be there an extended length of time. Any other? Yes, ma'am.
My aunt, Betty McCall, her significant other has passed, and there's going to be an assessment on the 3rd by the Department of Aging to see if she is capable of living on her own now that she doesn't have someone to help her.
3rd of January. So her aunt, Betty Lou Hall, her significant other, Luther was his name, right? He passed away, so given her age, she's going to have other living arrangements, and that meeting will be the 3rd of January. She's in Pennsylvania, so let's keep that in prayer. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you. As we pray every morning, we thank you for bringing us through the terrors and dangers of the night. And as we pray on the first morning of what we recognize as our calendar year, we thank you for bringing us through this previous year. We thank you for your faithfulness. If there's one song that we would sing most loudly and most consistently as we review our lives, is that you are a faithful God. And even when we are faithless, your faithfulness is rock solid. For it's based on that rock, the eternal Word of God, Jesus Christ. So as we are thanking you for bringing us through, and we are claiming your promise to lead us on, we know that we are simply praising Jesus Christ for his presence in our lives. And we thank you. We know we're not able to live this life with joy and peace, love and serenity, apart from that promise, that truth, Emmanuel, God with us through Christ Jesus. So we thank you for that. We just pray that your richest blessings will be upon us as we seek your face and seek to proclaim Christ in this coming year. We thank you for this opportunity today to gather and do just that. I would ask that you would be with those in our congregation that are traveling, and many that are traveling. Give them safety. We just thank you for those that have gathered and have mentioned prayer requests. We pray that you'll continue to be with Heather. We pray that she will continue to be soft and receptive to your leading. We would pray for her, well, we would pray for all of us, that we would be drawn closer to you and make choices and think thoughts that would follow your will. For there's no safer and beautiful place than in the center of your will. So may we desire that, we pray, and may it be for Heather as well. We pray that you would be with Gail's aunt, Betty Lou. We pray that you'd be with the Luther's family and friends, those that are grieving his loss. Comfort them. And now logistically be with the decisions that need to be made regarding Betty Lou's care. We just pray that there will be wisdom. There will be a sweet spirit in adjusting to that which must be adjusted to. We pray for all those that we care about. And we pray for the one that comes to our mind at this time. We thank you that you are the one that promised that if we cast all our cares upon you, you will care for us and you will deal right in each situation. Because of that, we give you praise in your holy name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, the beginning of this year and at the beginning of every worship service, we only can and we only do gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to us. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 111, calling each to worship. Then we'll stand and sing hymn 635. Hallelujah! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation.
Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them.
His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever.
He makes his marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
He gives food to those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the lands of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity.
He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who act accordingly have good understanding. His praise endures forever.
According to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy, and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them, to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. Here ends the first reading.
Too soon, a brother in the Trappist. Monastery named Brother Lewis. I pray this prayer every New Year's Day and many times through the year because Thomas Merton summed up well what our heart's desire would be. So would you join with me at the beginning of this year, allowing his words to reflect our desires. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself, and the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. For you are our Father, and we are your children, and as your children, we take boldness in praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Here ends the second reading.
Thank you.
seek to look fully into. One love that is showered upon us may it be our one desire to seek you first. Amen.
Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. On these holiday times, I come knowing, wondering how many will be traveling and whatnot. It's wonderful to see all of you today. Especially good to see B back again, and she's just continuing to have, being a real trooper, and she's in our prayers. It's good to see Jim with us. It's good to see you out. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I've had several ask me, so I'll take a moment, is this the first Sunday after Christmas, or is it the circumcision of our Lord Sunday? And the answer is yes. It is the first Sunday of Advent, but it's also a Sunday in which we recognize that Jesus was circumcised, as we heard read by Sarah in Galatians 4, according to the law. Part of his submission is he, the lawgiver, kept perfectly his own given law. So he was circumcised on the eighth day, and also, as was the custom, the boy had no name until that point, and it is also the naming of the child. And you know that he was Emmanuel from promise and prophecy, and on that eighth day at his point of circumcision, he was given the name Jesus, or Jesus, which simply means God, Yahweh, saves us. So we celebrate all of that as we gather today. Now may grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. We ask this in your name. Amen. There's an old saying that curiosity kills a cat. And I don't know if that's true, but I'll know this, that your need to know destroys your peace. Your need to know destroys your peace. Do you know of anyone who has a habit of overthinking issues? I heard a little ditty this past week or a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was quite good. If you're joyous and you know it, overthink. If you're joyous and you know it, overthink. If you're joyous and you know it, give your brain a chance to blow it. If you're joyous and you know it, overthink. Ours is not to wonder why. Ours is to receive an appreciation. And I would dare say much of what we call celebrating, and sometimes too much, on New Year's Eve, and hangovers on New Year's Day, those celebrations, I would suggest, are not so much true celebrations as they are regretful or fearful activities. GKC said that alcohol or drinking was a wonderful celebration when you found the answer, but a terrible substitute when you're looking at the problem. And I would dare say that many people, looking back on the things of 2022, can't get peace because they can't understand why certain things happened. It doesn't make sense why certain things happen. Their thinking kicks into gear in a way that they don't understand. And they won't have peace until they can understand. And as we look forward to a new year, we have fear because we don't know. We don't know. But let me say, it not only steals your joy to overthink, let me just let you in on a secret. It's a fool's game. You're never going to think your way out of situations where the real problem is not what we think it is. I read something about a year ago that I thought was quite interesting. Do you know why fire trucks are red? I'm going to tell you why fire trucks are red. Well, as you know, fire engines have 8 wheels and 4 firefighters. By adding 4 and 8, you get 12. They're 12 inches and a foot, and 1 foot is a ruler. Queen Elizabeth is a ruler. And Queen Elizabeth is the name of one of the largest ships on the ocean. The ocean has fish, and fish has fins. In the past, the Finns fought the Russians, and the Russians are known as red. Fire engines are always rushing, and therefore fire engines are always red. Now, you laugh, but I'm going to suggest to you that in my 40 years of almost a pastoral ministry, and in my own mind, sometimes when I try to figure out life, my logic gets as convoluted as what I just read to you. In my attempt to know, I not only lose my peace, but I spin my wheels, and it's a fool's game. So as we begin this year, based on the scriptures we read, let me just give you 3 things we need to know. This is probably going to be the most simple sermon you've heard. There are only 3 things you need to know. First thing you need to know is there is a God. There is a God. In Galatians 4, we see that there is a God, and this God is never surprised. We have this addiction to know because we always are gathering facts. I'll ask again, do you know someone who finds it extremely difficult to pull the trigger or make a decision on anything because they still need to get more data? They still need to get more facts. And the truth of the matter is you'll never know enough to know what you need to know to live life. But we've been burned before, haven't we? That's why we have this need to know. We've been burned before where we acted on wrong data, or we found out something and we were surprised. You know, one thing God has never had, one emotion He's never known, one cognitive trait that we know all too often is surprise. God has never been surprised. We read in Galatians 4 that at the fullness of time, and the word there, fullness, is a nautical term, means when a ship was completely checked out and it had everything it needed for a successful voyage. It had the proper crew and the proper equipment. It had plenty of the rations for food. It had complete freight. The word fullness would be given when that ship was absolutely prepared for a successful journey. God does not do, and I don't mean this blasphemously at all, God does not do anything by the seat of his pants. He's never surprised. Everything God does, a movement of time, is in a fullness. There's nothing missing in your life. There's nothing, no deficit. Everything that you need for godliness and salvation, you have in Christ Jesus. God has a sovereign plan. God is always right on time. There is a God. The second thing is, his word is true. His word is true. This is so true in the sense that he is the one person that a promise from God is an accomplished fact. Say, jog with me a little bit on this, and this is why we are sacramental. If I make you a promise, that is not completed until I give you down the road what I promised. You follow me on that? So if I say to my grandchildren, we'll go to Disneyland this summer, that promise is not accomplished until we go to Disneyland. It's sort of like a sign, the way we think of promises. When I'm driving and I see a sign that says Roanoke that way, 35 miles, I'm not in Roanoke until I get to that point. But the promise of God is a sacrament. It's sacramental in nature. It's not a sign that points simply to something. It is a sign that gives what it points to at the time that it's made. We understand sacraments in non-religious ways. I might tell you that Roanoke is 45 miles away. But if you go up to a spouse or to a parent or to a child and you give them a kiss, that kiss is sacramental. Because it's not just pointing to the essence of love, it's communicating and giving the love in the act of the signage. Follow me on that? So when Jesus, when God makes a promise through Jesus, it's not just pointing to something down the road. It's true because it's already. It's in the giving. So when we say his word is true, we mean it not only that he's never told a lie and he's absolutely, completely full of integrity and veracity. It's at a total different understanding. It's now in the giving. And then the other thing we see in Galatians 4, in verses 5 through 7, is he will bring us through everything. So there are the only three things you need to know. There is a God, his promise is true, and he will bring you through everything. You know, the last 3 years have been tough, haven't they? But you know what? So have the last 13 years. So have the last 30 years. So have any three-year period that you pick out at any time in history been tough. We have this maybe narcissistic trait of thinking what we're going through is the worst it's ever been. I bore very quickly of people telling me how bad 2022 was. Did 2022 have some difficult points? Absolutely. Did it have some amazingly wonderful points? Absolutely. Is it any different than any other year? Absolutely not. For God, the same God who is in sovereign control, has always been in control. So, God will bring you through. I've been reading a Japanese novelist. He's quite good. He's sort of like a Japanese George Orwell. And his name is Murakami. And he wrote a book about 20 years ago called Kafka, about the Russian novelist Kafka on the shore. And he has this line, and I thought, this is so good in describing what the Christian life really looks like, because we would like the Christian life to be absolutely free of any difficulties, confusions, pains, or anything else that would not be pleasant. But Murakami writes this, and once the storm is over, you won't remember how you made it through, how you managed to survive. You won't even be sure whether the storm is really over. But one thing is certain, when you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person who walked in. And that's what the storm is all about. Brothers and sisters, as we look at the life of Christ, the only begotten Son of God, we must say that rescuing you from your problems is not what God's all about. Drawing you closer to Him in all things is what God is about. It's not we need a fix to those things and circumstances in our life. We simply need to be far more aware that there is a God. And His word is true, and He'll get us through. See, the secret of life, the point of Christmas, the truth of the gospel, is just quite simple. It's about presence. He came to us. We stay with Him. Let me close by pointing out another song, a Christmas song. But I'm surprised it's not in our hymnal. But you know it. And it uses a word that we don't use. You know the song, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen? Of course you do. Do you know that Mary is a word you don't use that often? I think there are only two times I think I ever hear anyone use that word. Is either Merry Christmas, or if you go to a playground, Merry Go Round. It's not a word that people, I mean, we'd look askance if I met a buddy at a diner and said, how are you doing? He said, oh, I'm Merry. You know, it's just not terminology or we use. But in this hymn, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, the word merry means lively or high spirit. But there's something I want to point out, and I wish I could show you this in a hymnal, but for whatever reason, neither hymnal has it. But commas are important. We overlook them sometimes. We overlook them every time we pledge allegiance. When we pledge allegiance to the United States, we normally say, and to one nation, under God. Well, we shouldn't say that. There's no comma in between that. It's to one nation under God. There's no comma. But there is a comma in God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And the comma is after Mary. God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. God Rest You Merry Men and Women. God Rest You Merry. And then it goes on into that hymn to say that there'll be difficult times. And there'll be times when things aren't all aright. Brothers and sisters, I have no idea what 2023 will hold for you or for me. But I know this, that what God wants us to know is in the midst of it, beyond all the decorations and all the circumstances, regardless of who is or who isn't doing the way you think they should or shouldn't do, regardless of the economy or the circumstance or even politics, if we can understand the message of the gospel, we truly will know and claim God will rest you. We're enlivened. We have that rest. Is completely free from anything needing to change on the outside. That's all we need to know. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Steadfast God, you alone are worthy of praise and thanksgiving. You created all there is and welcomed us to share in every detail with you. Your persevering hold on all you have created never relents. Through Rachel and Joseph, you shaped your people to be a blessing to the nations, in times of joy, but also in sorrow and suffering. When the torment of slavery seemed unbreakable, your imagination unlocked unyielding shackles. When exile seemed endless, your mercies never failed. And when your Son came to be born in the midst of all you created, you did not spare him human sorrow and suffering, even the cross. He knew exile while still an infant, and as he and his parents escaped to safety, when so many other children went to death, years later in Jerusalem he went to death, that all your children might live with you in resurrection glory. And so we give you thanks, praising you with angels and archangels as we join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of mercy, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, pour your grace upon us through your very lifeblood in this holy meal. Send your Holy Spirit upon us to make us merciful as you are merciful. By the blood of the Lamb, sign our names in your book of life. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and this wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of all consolation, pierce the heart of your church with the same cries that pierce your heart. Where suppressed years of history have left blood crying from the ground, make us people who seek the truth. Where the innocent die as bystanders, make us people who remember. Where families fleeing for safety seek refuge in unfamiliar lands, make us people of welcome. Where parents weep over the death of a child, make us people of tenacious love. Meet our tears with your holy comfort, and turn our sorrow into wisdom for others to share. Until that day when we gather around the throne of the Lamb in endless praise to you, living God, Father,
Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, we come receiving pure gift. No work, no law. This is a promise of grace, a gift, no strings. For our Lord, who is that which we offer, at his birth, he received gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In stark declaration that the new life that had arrived had come to die. So that by his tasting death, all of us who will die will live forever through this precious gift. The very body and blood of Christ. Incarnated for us, given for us, raised for us, and offered to us. So I offer to all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to partake of this gift, our Passover lamb. Let us keep the feast. Thank you.
Our gracious God, we thank you for your word that rings true, that those who come to you must believe that you exist and that you reward those who diligently seek you. We have sought you where you told us to find you, and we have been rewarded by the precious body and blood of Christ Jesus that forgives us of our sins, liberates us from our shame, holds us in his mercy, and secures our future until we see him face to face. So we give you thanks for all things. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship together, singing our final hymn. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.